Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. If a marathon runner gets on the wrong route, he'll never win the race. Sincerity is great, but it's not enough, especially when it comes to this all-important matter, the salvation of our souls. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're beginning a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Today, Pastor Lutzer brings a warning about the tragedy of misplaced faith.
If I recall correctly, there were seven people who bought some extra strength Tylenol, and the minute they took those capsules, they died a few moments later. Because someone had bought those capsules and emptied them and put cyanide in them. And they have never found who it is that did that terrible deed. But there are two powerful lessons that emerge from that experience. Number one, a faith in itself does not have the power to transform something that is hurtful into something that is helpful. Faith in itself does not have that power. The old idea that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere is nonsense. The people who took those capsules were very sincere. They had implicit faith, but their sincerity did not save them. It is much better to believe the truth with a trembling hand than it is to believe error with serenity and confidence. Faith in itself has no transforming power. There's a second lesson that comes to us, and that is that which is true and good and that which is harmful may look very much alike. The cyanide and the Tylenol had many similarities. In fact, the cyanide was in, of course, a Tylenol capsule. And sometimes it is possible to distinguish truth and error readily, and there are other times when it is very difficult to distinguish it because sometimes error looks like truth. It has the feel of truth. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus makes an astounding contrast between that which is false and that which is true. Listen to what he has to say. He is talking about two roads, two gates, two destinations. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What an amazing statement. I want you to understand that those who came to Christ and says, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out demons and perform miracles? I want you to understand that these people were absolutely shocked when the door to heaven was closed in their faces. These people were genuinely deceived. They didn't say to themselves, well, you know, I always knew it might turn out this way. No. They actually expected to enter into heaven. They never dreamed for a moment that Jesus would be their judge. They thought that Jesus was their Savior. They said, Lord, Lord, and look at what we've done. And Jesus will say, your works were lawlessness. Doesn't the King James translate it iniquity? Now, what I'd like to do in a few moments of time is to give you some of the paths on the Broadway that appear to be the right way. If you can imagine the Broadway, which leads to destruction, it has many different lanes, just like the Kennedy Expressway is supposed to have. And there are many options. The Broadway is very diverse. The Broadway is very tolerant and very understanding. And I choose these three not because they are the only wrong paths, but because they look like the right thing. I haven't even bothered with those theories of salvation that can be immediately discerned as wrong. I'm talking about those that appear right, those that really are cyanide under a Tylenol label. Let's mention some of them. Number one, we could call them the way of the achievers. We're speaking about those who think to themselves that the way to heaven is really a tall ladder. And God gives us grace. He gives us abilities. He gives us the strength to be able to serve Him, to be able to do good. And we begin to crawl on this ladder, rung by rung. And when God sees how sincere we are, He comes and His grace picks us up and takes us the rest of the way. And that's how we are saved. Well, I want you to know that people who believe that are on the Broadway that leads to destruction, about whom Jesus said, many there be that go in thereat. For one thing, this view does not take into account the fact that the moral gap between us and God is infinite. This view overestimates the good of man, and it underestimates the awesome glory and the holiness and the wonder of God. This view assumes that somehow we can cooperate with God in the process of salvation. He does His part, we do ours, and we meet somewhere in the middle. And that is wrong. And those who believe that are accepting cyanide, even if it comes in a Tylenol label. There's another problem with that view. Not only does it forget about the holiness of God, and John Calvin, by the way, in about the second page of his Institutes, makes a very telling observation about human nature. He says that most of us find someone who is lower on the rung than we are, and because we are all filled with pollution, when we see something that even looks a little better than other things that are happening, we call it righteousness. And we don't understand how far short it is of the overwhelming glory of God. Something else about this view is that it does not change human nature. And Jesus did say that unless a man was born again, he would not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Trying to crawl that ladder only means that it is done with my power and my energy. Energy that may be given to me of God, but energy that is mine nonetheless. And of course, those who hold this view will tell you that they have no assurance of salvation. They cannot. Because if the ladder has to be climbed, even if God comes and rescues me from 99 rungs that I haven't climbed, it's my responsibility to climb the first rung, and I'm not sure that I can even do that much. If salvation even is partly my responsibility, in the sense that it is partly my good deeds, I might mess up. And so I can have no assurance. No, those who believe that we get to heaven by our achievement, climbing the ladder, if they were honest, they'd know that they don't have a chance. Well, let's go on now and let's talk about another view that is really characteristic of the broad way. It is the way of the mystic, the way of the mystic. Let's go back in a time machine and go back to the Middle Ages, when people seem to have a whole lot more time than they have today. And some of them says, we have so much time that what we want to do is to get away and find God within the soul. And we're going to meditate and we're going to contemplate and we're going to pray until God meets us within. Now, there was such a thing as true mysticism and a good form of mysticism, but I'm talking about a false kind of mysticism that really looks exactly like the genuine article. The mystics believed that since the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, they took that seriously. And they said, we want to love God with all that we are, and there's only one way to do it, and that is to purify the soul so that he can meet us deep within. And so they went around hoping that the time would come when they would no longer love sin, but they would really love God. But the more honest these mystics were, the more doubts they began to have. They began to say to themselves, you know, we love God, but maybe our motives are just a bit mixed. Maybe we love God because we fear hell. Maybe we love God because we think that loving God will be beneficial to us. How can we be sure that we love him with absolute total purity without any taint of self and mixed motives in that love? Well, my friend, I certainly hope that you listen to Running to Win next time so that you hear the end of that message and a further clarification of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm holding in my hands a resource we would like you to have because we think it'll be of tremendous help to you. It's a book my lovely wife Rebecca has written entitled Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know. For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you, and I want you to think about this. You may want to use it in a women's Bible study because it is a series of short chapters on various issues that are faced, not just by women, but by all of us. Or you may want to read it for yourself or perhaps as a gift for someone. This would be a tremendous blessing dealing with issues from a biblical viewpoint. The name of the book, Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know.
Many try to gain heaven through their own efforts. They think that if their good deeds outweigh their bad, they'll make it. Others hope keeping the sacraments will ensure their eternal future. So, what's the truth? Next time on Running to Win, Erwin Lutzer dispels many false hopes people hold on to for gaining heaven. He'll continue the tragedy of misplaced faith as he explains the role of sacraments. Mother's Day is coming, and a great gift would be a book by Rebecca Lutzer. It's Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know. They cover the whole gamut of life difficulties and how God can see us through them. This book, in turn, is our gift to you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about life-changing Bible verses every woman should know. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.